Okay, so tonight's shir is Zecher Nishmas Chaya Mushkut Bas Moshe Baruch. That's the mother of our chairman here, Rabbi Chaya Arbisrael. And the neshama should have an aliyah. So the Divrei Torah. Okay, so I think we last left off. We had a pre-Pesach shir, as I recall. So it's been like 2 or 3 weeks. I guess 3 weeks.
Well, we had this year in the 5 towns.
That was a pre-Pesach. I don't know how many people came. That's something else.
There were three of us.
But it was open to the tzibur. Yeah. So I was more trying to explain, not that the people were there, but why we didn't have one here.
Oh.
Yeah. But so we're in the middle of the very important Gemara here on Dalid Amud Aleph. So I'm just going to read through the Gemara very quickly. And there are two very important, really two and a half very important topics in this little section. So the Gemara says Gufa, right? Boi, this is on the Dalit Amud Aleph. It's three, you know, the two dots, five, six lines down. The last of the word on the sixth line. Gufa. Boi Rabibi Barabaya. Bibi Barabaya raised the following question. Very important question. Hidbik pas betanur. The person, puts dough in the oven, and if he leaves it there, it's going to bake on Shabbos, and of course that will violate one of the lamed tesavos malacha, right? Afia b'Shabbos, which is one of the 39 malachos. And the question is whether or not yitiru lo lirdosa kodem shiyavu l'dei chiyub chatos, oh lo yitiru. Do they allow you, do the Chachamim allow you to remove the dough from the oven so that you can prevent the Doraisa capital offense of Afia, right? Or do they not stand on ceremony, but do they stand on the Drabanan, according to most Rishonim is Drabanan, almost all Rishonim is Drabanan, and that is the Isser of Radia Sapas. Now, we already discussed, we had a shir in which we discussed the question of what really is at stake. What is the problem of Radia Sapas? Is it a problem of Uvda Dechol? Is it a Shvus? Is it, maybe even a Doraisa? And, it's a question of Dochin, Malacha, Mipnei Malacha, and how could that possibly work? We had a whole discussion about what the what needs to be overcome, what the counter pressure, if you will, of Radia Sapas is. But the question that remains is, according to the 99.9% view, which is that Radia Sapas is only a rabbinic prohibition, so are you allowed to violate Bekumbase? We'll just add those words. Are you allowed to take an active step to violate a Din Drabanan in order to prevent what will now be a passive Doraisa? Whether the active passive discrepancy is part of the question or not is not so clear, but I'm just trying to sharpen the question. At least it's possible that that's part of it, as we'll soon see. That's the question. On the one hand, a drabanan is obviously a less stringent violation than a doraisa. On the other hand, doing something the kumbase is generally being proactive, it's taking initiative, is always something which requires greater justification than merely, sitting still, the Sheval Taisa. Moreover, the question is, since we are talking about a Kumbase versus a Sheval Taisa, whether Chachamim Himidu Devrayim, if the Chachamim tell you not allowed to do something, so, there's a certain discipline that implies, and maybe they were insistent, even if the consequences are going to be even more dire than that violation. So, this last point is an issue which we find in many other topics in halacha, as we'll soon see the Bali Tosis make some reference. What happens whenever there are drabanans that prevent you from doing a daraisa? For example, the Gemara speaks about orel, izemel, haza'a, right? The things, for example, where midrabanan you're not allowed to take certain actions, the result of which is that you are going to lose out on an asei sheyesh bo kares. Right, because of what the Chachamim tell you cannot do, you're not going to be able to bring a Korban Pesach. Because of what the Chachamim tell you you're not allowed to do, you're not going to be able to perform, let's say, a Mila Bizmana. So, on the surface, talking about it's not only a Daraisa versus a Drabanan, but you're talking about a very, even though it's only a Mitzvah Saseh, which is more kal to be you know, violating the mitzvah saseh, but we're talking about the most chamor kind of a mitzvah saseh. A mitzvah saseh, sheyesh bo kares. So this is the expression sometimes that we find in the Gemara in different places, in Nazir and in Psachim and so on and so forth. Whether himidu chachamim divrayim afilo b'makom kares or not. Then the chachamim insist that their extension of the law, which is intended for the greater good, obviously, of shmiras hamitzvos, and, you know, asusiyag Torah, etc., did they impose that insistence, that higher standard, that protective standard, even when, narrowly speaking, specifically in this case, it's going to come at the expense of what seems to be a greater urgency. So here, too, you have a similar problem. You have Rediyah Sapas, right? That's the, you know, that's the drabanan, maybe even a lesser drabanan. Are you allowed to do that in order to save yourself from bishul slash hafiyah? I'm just adding, in addition to that, there's a kumbaseh and shevataisa, maybe there's a kumbaseh and shevataisa component as well, and maybe there's some other issues in addition to that. So that's the Gemara's discussion. That's our Bibi Barabaya's suffix. So the Gemara says, Amale Rabacha Barabaya Luravina Echadami. Rabacha Barabaya Luravina said, listen, very nice, but let's look at the case concretely. What is the case? Is there such a case? What do you mean, is there such a case? So the Gemara explains, Ilema Bishogeg Velo Yidkar Le Lamanitiru. If we're talking about an individual, what happened? He put the dough in the oven. He didn't know it was Shabbos when he did it. He didn't know there was a malacha called afiyah. He didn't know that this is afiyah. Whatever it is, he was a shogeg, right? Because we're talking about whether or not he's going to be chayev kodem shiyav alidei of chata. So he was a shogeg, right? So if he remains a shogeg, because whatever led him to put dough in the oven on Shabbos, right, continues to, you know, to be relevant. In other words, whatever fact or information he was missing, he's still missing. So then what are we talking about? I mean, he doesn't know he did anything wrong. So how are we supposed to give him directives about whether or not he should violate a lesser drabanan to save himself from a greater daraisa? He doesn't even know that he did anything wrong. Why is he even asking the question? He didn't come to the rabbi, if you will. If he came to the rabbi, it implies that what? That he knows that he did something wrong. Ah! I'm not saying that people should only come to the rabbi if they know they did something wrong. But in this particular case, right, in terms of this issue, elav di hadar v'idkar. So what are we talking about? A situation where he went to the rabbi's shir, let's say, and the rabbi was teaching Hilchos Shabbos that day. So he realized that what he did was wrong. Right, that could happen. Started turning all sorts of colors in the middle of the shir. So if that's what happens, says the Gemara, Mimachayev, then there's no problem either. Why? Because we have a rule. The rule is Vahatnan, to Mishnah later on. Where's this Mishnah? Andaf Kuf Beis Omed Aleph, as we'll soon discuss. Kol Chay Bechatos Enen Chayavin Achetehet Chilasan Shkaga V'Sofan Shkaga. In order to, you know, be obligated to bring a Korban Chatos, you have to be a Shogeg Mitchila Yad Sof. From the beginning of the process, right, which is mechayev you, until the moment of the chiyuv, you have to be in a state of ignorance. Right? If you found out at any point before the end that you were obligated, that, you know, that this is a violation, you wouldn't bring a korban chatas. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, so either he doesn't know he did anything wrong, in which case, what are we talking about? Or he finds out that he did something wrong. But if he finds out that it's not kodem shiyav alidei yisur chatas, because he's already not going to bring a chatas.
He's still over on a lot, isn't he? Even if he's not giving
a excellent, very good. So hold on to that.
The whole Gemara is very korban focused, even from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So hold on to that thought just for a minute. We're going to examine that in just a second. But again, technically you can't blame the Gemara, because they're talking about kodem shiyav alidei chiyuv chatas.
Right.
Unless you say that the word chiyuv chatas here doesn't mean the onesh, it means the maisaveira.
Right. I'm saying I don't know why the question was asked to begin.
Yeah, okay. Right. And you're saying just push the question back.
Push the question back.
Okay,
originally.
Very good. So we'll see in a moment that this is what you're saying is totally correct and relevant. But whether or not there's something to be derived from this, we'll see in a moment. So the Gemara says, Ella b'mezid. So why don't we say we're talking about a situation not where he was a chav, not where he violated the shagaga, but he did it b'mezid. So the Gemara says, but kodem shiavu l'day iser skila mibayle. Then we should be saying not kodem shiavu l'day iser chatas, but kodem shiavu l'day iser skila, because he did it b'mezid, right? So therefore the Gemara says, Amrav shila liolam the shogeg. Let's go back to the idea of shogeg. That works better linguistically so far. If we're talking about him, so then there's this puzzling mimonashach, right? Either he doesn't know he did anything wrong, so there's no question, or he knows that he made a mistake and there's no chiyuv befoal, no chiyuv chatas, as you correctly asked. But who says we're talking about him? Maybe the question is about a third party. The third party knows that you're not allowed to put dough in the oven on Shabbos, right? And he also has the opportunity to do Radias HaPas to save his friend Reuven, who in his own ignorance, right, didn't know. So Reuven is going to violate Befoal in a way that's going to bring him a Chiyav Chatas, unless Shimon, his good friend, right, jumps in and does Radias HaPas to save him. That's a little bit of a different issue, but it's an interesting question, right? Should, of course, now there's an additional ingredient. Not only can you do a active drabanan in order to prevent a passive doraisa, but is Shimon obligated to sacrifice himself on that basis in order to save Reuven, right? Even though Shimon is a bystander, does he have to violate a drabanan, albeit not only a drabanan, an active drabanan, to save Shimon from a passive doraisa? A little more complicated.
Or permitted.
Ah, excellent question also. Obligated or permitted. Very good. Pashtus, the Gemara is talking about obligated. The Rishonim, when they talk about this general topic, we're not going to do that today because we're going to focus on a different aspect today, but hopefully either next week or the week after, depending on how we conclude about the Yom HaAtzmaut issue.
What is Rashi say about Chayvim?
I thought you were going to say, what's the Yom HaAtzmaut issue?
No, what is Rashi say about Chayvim? I think you finished that. Sorry.
Yeah. No,
what is Rashi say about Chayvim?
Yeah, the other fellow saw what happened. Acher Shara, Shimon, Ubalafanenu, he came to the rabbi.
Ask him.
Lishoel. What? He asked the rabbi.
The second guy is the rabbi.
Yeah.
That's Harem is the rabbi.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
what he said. You would think he would just want to take it out on his own.
No. Ubalafanenu, that's the Gemara. Rabibi Babaya Barabai is being asked this question. What should you tell him? Under these conditions, if he, meaning Shimon, comes to the rabbinical authority or authorities and says, should I do Radias HaPas in order to save him from Bishul? Well, what should we tell him? That's the question. So the Gemara says, this is not the part we're going to discuss this week, but we'll discuss it briefly for some other reason, for one little part of it, but this is a huge and fascinating topic in its own right. Namely, v'chiyomer lo la'adam chatei kedei sheyizakeh chavercha. Right, do we have such a concept?
Right,
that you tell, obviously in a situation where there's seemingly some sort of, benefit. In other words, obviously Shimon doesn't have to violate, he's never going to violate in a way that's equal to what he saves Reuven. But if there's a clear discrepancy, Shimon has to do an Iser Kal, or an Iser Drabanan, in order to save Reuven from an Iser Chamor, or an Iser Daraisa Chamor, right? So the question is, do you say what we sometimes call Chayecha Kodmin L'chaye Chavercha? We say that in Pikuach Nefesh, right? If two people are in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, so everybody knows the story about Rabbi Kiva and Ben Petura, right, in Sugin Bam Metzia. But the story of Rabbi Kiva and Ben Petura is a tricky story, because the question is, there are different scenarios. So if there's only enough water to save one of them, then the question is who's holding on to the water. But if one of them is holding on to, we paskin that one of them is holding on to the water and only one of them can be saved, so we paskin chayecha kodmin l'chayecha bercha. We, on the other hand, we also say v'ahavta l'reacha. This week's parsha, right? The parsha we just read, the haftal reacha kamocha. So the Ramban, actually, in Parshas Kedoshim on V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha that we just read, says, don't think that V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means that you are capable or obligated, never mind that you're not obligated, not even capable of loving your neighbor like you love yourself, says Ramban. That's an impossibility. What?
Hillel put it in a negative.
That's easier to do.
I would have wanted
the sunny law.
I would want to die because of him. So
No, I understand. That's a good point. So the Ramban says, don't think that it literally means what it seems to say, which possibly is how the Rambam understands it, and others, that v'ahavta you should really, you know, work on this midah of ava sereyacha, you know, ad kedei kach, that you should love your neighbor like you love yourself. Ramban says, A, it's impossible. Right, fascinating Ramban. But B, this is the reason I'm quoting it. Ramban says, B, it's not halachically proper. Because chayecha kodmin l'chayei chaverecha. You might have thought, chayecha kodmin l'chayei chaverecha means in a situation where somebody's going to lose their life. So in that situation, we have a hierarchy, chayecha kodmin. But, you know, when it's not a question of choosing in that way, maybe a person should and is obligated to cultivate V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Anyway, just since I mentioned it, the Ramban's pshat, I mean, the pasuk says V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I mean, obviously the Ramban doesn't ignore that. So the Ramban says it doesn't say V'ahavta esreacha kamocha. It says V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And what it means is, just as you don't hold anything back when it comes to your self, you know, affection, in the sense that you want for yourself all the good things that, you know, that people, you know, should want. You want kavod, and you want financial, foundation, and you want pleasure, and you want ruchnius, meaning a man is a complicated being, and, you know, he wants many things for himself. All the dimensions, right, in which his own self-interest expresses itself should be expressed for your neighbor as well. That doesn't mean, you know, you want for him in the same intensity that you want for yourself. But this is a fascinating Ramban. Even as the Ramban's admitting Chayecha Kodmin and Chayecha Berecha, both as a reality and even halachically in terms of the value, but the Ramban says nonetheless the ambition of V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is still a huge ambition. It means don't just want for him, you know, arichas yamim. Don't just want from him, you know, a good parnasa, right? You have to want all the areas, all the compartments and dimensions that you want for yourself, you should want for him too. Albeit, you know, according to the Madrega, that makes sense. Okay. Anyways, our people disagree with the Ramban in both directions. That's not for now. The reason I quoted it is because I just want to make the point of Chayecha, right, Kodmin, L'chayei Chaverecha, and the Ramban's extension of that, even within the concept of applying the V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which is why not everybody agrees with it. But so when we talk about this question, it's a fascinating question. This is an added element, of course, and that is, on the positive, you talked about the sunni lach, you know, the negative in that sense, you know, the Hillel comment. But there's a negative and a positive, you know, in this issue too, and that is, it's one thing to say V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and not speak about Chayecha Kodmin L'chayei Chaverecha. It's quite another to speak about somebody who, you know, who made a mistake, not just made a mistake, who did an aveira, and the obligation to save him from himself, but to step in and to help him, to step in and even to save him from an external threat. That's one madrega. Are you obligated to put your spiritual future on the line even to safeguard him from his own mistake and from things that he should know better? Right? That's an interesting question. So that's all part of the topic that we're not going to discuss pretty much today of the Chiyom Rablola Adam. It's a kind of, although the Gemara never uses an expression, and the Rishonim don't really either, except for maybe a little bit the Rush in Brachos, a couple of days, when he talks about something totally different. He talks about Orev there. And there he mentions, seems to make reference to this idea of being matzil, saving somebody you know, from themselves or saving somebody, you know, even at your own expense. But he doesn't use the expression chatei kadesh tzaka chavercha there. And none of the Rishonim here use the expression kol Yisrael arevim zebaze. But, you know, that being said, basically this is a kol Yisrael arevim zebaze topic, right? What are the parameters of that, and especially in the context of his, being your neighbor's, sin? Right? How much are you supposed to sacrifice, you know, to help him in this area? Very fascinating topic, which I do want to do, and we'll talk about it. Yeah?
But the way it's phrased, it would seem as though you're not putting anything at risk. The kasha is...
You're not doing any?
You're not putting yourself at risk at all. The kasha is it's you... So if you're not there,
You mean you're zeroing in on the question of hetiro and chivu?
Yeah.
So I think I mentioned before, that is a very good question. The Ritva, Alatar, here in Masachet Shabbos, and in Gittin, makes this distinction. He discusses whether or not the parameters of heter and Chiyuv are different or not. Most Rishonim do not. Most Rishonim assume, and this is very important in its own right, that there's no difference between what you're allowed to do and what you're obligated to do. In other words, they assume that to the extent that you're allowed to, you're obligated, or maybe it's more proper to say it the other way, to the extent that you're not obligated, you're also not allowed. The Ritva says there is a kind of a flexible, you know, personal choice here. If I want to, you know, fall on my spiritual sword for my friend, for my neighbor, you know, within reason, that's my choice. There is a, you know, it's very parallel discussion, although you could certainly be mechalek. You know, when does a person, you know, put himself in suffek, pikuach nefesh, you know, to help his friend? And some people think it's a machlokas in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That's a popular view, but the Radvaz, others suggest that, you know, you can't force somebody, even if it's vadai pikuach nefesh for Ruvain, and it's only safek pikuach nefesh for Shimon. Then there are some poskim who say you can't force somebody into safek pikuach nefesh, even for vadai, you know, hatzalor vadai pikuach nefesh. But it might be legitimate to give him that choice. I mean, if he wants to do it, that's a different matter.
Let's say it's Chol Shabbos.
Yeah.
You don't call Shabbos to somebody else who's a misakana.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it.
No. So if it's real pikuach nefesh, that's something else, because Chol Shabbos is nidcha the pnei pikuach nefesh. But that's something that's what we're, that's a different story.
So
that's
the same thing for here also.
I'm sorry?
Why aren't you saying that here also?
Because, well, there's no Pikuach Nefesh. Where's the Pikuach Nefesh?
Of course not. I said that concept of Hitiru to me sounds like Nitzah. I'm not following that.
I'm not following.
Hitiru means we're nullifying the Issa.
You mean like Kutra?
Okay.
Yeah, no, but that we understand something like Hutra, whether it's Hutra or Dehuya, but we even understand Hutra if you're talking about the, you know, V'chai Bahem, you're talking about Pikuach Nefesh. But if you're talking just about a choice, you know, and you know, the aggregate good or the aggregate, you know, less a problematic choice, there's no reason necessarily to think of that sort. I mean, it goes back to things we discussed in Yevamos, you know, ase no chalos ase, you know, issues of that sort. But that's, again, you know, if you're talking about, you know, bringing you know, Korban Shabbos on Shabbos, or you're talking about, you know, Iser Eishes Ach and the mitzvah of Yibum, you know, then you're talking about one kind of a hutra, and if you're talking about just regular ase dokalosa, but that's the rule, you know, you're talking about something else. Here we're talking about, should I do a lesser iser to save my friend from a greater iser? As far as we know, that's not, you know, ase dokalosa ase, so it's probably not hutra. Now, I think it is a very legitimate question to ask, if you're allowed to, or maybe even say, if you're obligated, so do you get the actual onesh? I think that's an open question. It's not so clear in the poskim. There's some poskim who make it clear that you do get the onesh. Others seem to think not. So So I guess that would parallel what you're asking. But it's still very different than something like Pikuach Nefesh, which is like the ultimate, aside from Gimel Averos, so everything is Nitzchem, but Pikuach Nefesh, it's much easier there to say this idea of Hutra, namely, you know, where, you know, Kai Gavna lo Osru to begin with. It's much harder to say it when you get to things that are closer and not ultimates, if you will. Yeah?
Just on the flip side, let's say somebody has a son, Shloshim Yom, and needs a coin, the coin in the city. The coin has no obligation to stay. He can go on vacation,
okay,
and leave the father without an opportunity to do pidyon haben.
Well, again, but there's still a huge difference between hate.
On the reverse side.
I mean, how much do I have to go out of my way, right? Even if there's no avera side of it, to facilitate his mitzvos, you're asking.
One other halacha I want to.
That's a very good question.
I want to suggest, if possible, that it's yiskia. It's a cow. It's not pl.
Okay.
Because you should say chate kadesha to zake chaverocha.
Okay, we sometimes do.
So no, but it's chate kadesha yiskia chaverocha.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay, we'll accept that. Anyway, the Gemara here rejects it. What we're going to see in the Rishonim, but not so much today, again a little bit today just because of something agav, is that this is not the only Gemara in Shas that seems to deal with this question, right, of spiritual self-sacrifice. As you can imagine, there are numerous Gemaras, and as you can also probably predict, the Gemaras do not convey a single uniform message. They don't all, reflect what this Gemara just said, which is v'chiyomam la'adam chadei kizchatei kidei sheyizkeh chavercha. Right? Okay? So they don't all, say that. There are some which say, like the Gemara Neirvin, which we'll get to in just a minute, that Tosus raises, avar, isur kalila, kidei lahatzil chavercha me'isur rechamur. So the question is, that becomes, what's the exception? What's the rule? Maybe there is no exception and rule. Maybe it's, like the Ritva said, there's a lot of personal choice, which is a fascinating shita. Or maybe it depends on certain objective criteria. How big a gap there is between the two, whether something is more of a tzibur or a yachid oriented, whether there's any blame on anybody's part, either direction. Is it my fault that he's in this predicament? Is it his own fault that he's in that predicament? So you can imagine, just objectively, this is a very, kind of fertile topic, that the circumstances of the relationships here are going to be a huge part of this topic. And then it becomes a window into very specific isurim or circumstances, as well as certain general themes, what's a tzibur matter, what's an individual matter, what's very highly personal, when does his personal, become my personal, Kali Solorim Zelaza issues, etc. Yeah. But that's mostly for next week. Yeah.
I think a critical component is the likelihood of your faith developing and preventing.
No. Let's assume for the moment, the cases in these Gemaras are cases where you can, for sure, it's not a suffix. I gave the example before. Is it a person obligated to be machnis atzmo, the suffix, pikuach nefesh, to prevent his friend from vadai, pikuach nefesh, in both directions? He's going to die for sure, or he's going to be in pikuach nefesh for sure, or are you going to save him for sure? There are different, shades of this crime. I'm not talking about that now. In these questions, we're talking about he has the key. Kaveiro can save him. Vadai. Question is, at what personal expense? The answer is less than he will suffer, but it's his problem and it's not my problem, and therefore is that enough? Is the fact that I'm going to be in violation of admittedly a Iser Kal, is that enough of a justification for me to have to sacrifice it all for you? But Vadai, it'll work. Like, for example, our case. If you do Rodias Apas, if you take the dough out of the oven, it's not going to be bishul, right? Those are the kind of cases that we're talking about. at the moment.
What about the case of when Esther went into Ahasuerus?
Yeah.
So she went in. It was a Sofi Pikuach Nefesh for her, whether he's going to give her the scepter or not.
Okay.
But it was the Lahatzil Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, so Klal Yisrael as a factor, I mean, I think that's not a Katei Kadesh Tzadok, obviously, but it's parallel in that other case. But the Klal Yisrael factor we'll talk about. I already hinted at it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. The Bali Tosa saying Mitzvah the Rabbin Shiny, you know, to make a minion for things after the Tzibur. Again, but what is, what, you know, which dinim are automatically Mitzvah the Rabbin?
Children of Rabbi Yehuda with the woman who had to give herself over to the marauders.
Yeah. That's all those cases are going to be relevant to all of this. Okay. Elamar Ravashi Leolam, let's get back to the Gemara. As you can see, it's a very, you know, this is the topic that we're not doing right now, but that's the first Tosas. You see the Tosas of Kiyomim Lol Adam Katei Bishvil She Yizkechari Chavercha, correct? So, that's this Tosas. And the Rishonim that are connected. We're going to speak about it a little bit, but just mostly we're going to zero in on the visual parts in a minute. Anyways, the Gemara is back to square one, because the Gemara seems to be rejecting this idea of sacrifice for your friend, spiritually sacrificing for your friend, is being rejected out of hand in the Gemara for the moment. So we're back to square one. What is the case in which Rabbi Barabaya has a suffix? If the guy is, you know, is living in, you know, blissful, you know, I don't mean it literally, ignorance, so he's not asking a shayla. If, you know, he finds out and that's why he's asking, so then there's already no befoal chiyuv chatas. If we're talking about his friend, according to the simple reading of this Gemara, is not obligated, certainly, maybe not even permitted, right, to fall on his spiritual sword for his neighbor. Elam Ravashi Leolam B'mezit. So we're going back to the idea that it's B'mezit. So the Gemara says, but, you know, that doesn't fit in with the words, Kodem Sheyavo L'day Chiyuv Chatas. So the Gemara says, "Ema kodem sheyavo l'day iser skila." In Achanami, you have to change the text. Wow, such a strong question. We have to change the text in the Brisa. Ravacha breid rava masni la behed. You know, he said, "Yeah, you know what? I looked again. This is the text that I actually have." Amar Avibi Barabaya hidbe pas betanor hitir la lirdosa kodem sheyavo l'day iser skila. Okay, now. So what I want to discuss, and what I alluded to the last time that we met here, right, was the question of Bishul itself. In other words, Bishul is basically a two-stage process. Right, you put dough in the oven. At that point, nothing happens. Right, and you know if you could reverse things before the baking actually sets in, Minatorah, you haven't done anything. But if you leave it there, the Sheval Taisa, right, it's going to bake. What is the relationship between phase one, putting the dough in the oven, and phase two, the actual baking or cooking of the transformation of the object? So that's really what I want to discuss mostly. Before we get to that, I'm just going to take care of another small issue, the issue that you asked me about, and that is as follows. So, in fact, let's say we were to tell the man in question, you, according to the, you know, halacha, are not allowed to do Rediyas HaPas. Remember, he did put the dough in the oven, according to the Maskana, the Nezit. Right? Mm-hmm. And let's say, not only the mezid, let's say he did it Bahasra. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's looking at the death penalty. Skila. So, Bibi Barbaya wasn't sure whether we're going to allow him to take it off. So you're going to tell the guy, sorry, you know, so back to your, you know, home, you know, you know, tie up loose ends, you know. Skila is coming. Right? That's very shocking.
On the other hand, if he did it, the Mitzvah Basra, we're less compelled to help him.
Absolutely true as well. Okay. So Tosis here addresses this. Kodesh Yavel Deis Eskila. Tosis says Vim Tomar. Everybody see the second meaning? No, the one first one of the wide lines. Kodesh Yavel Deis Eskila Vim Tomar. Now Tosis asks it not in a legal way, but in a pragmatic way. Now the question might have been, the Chachamim really would allow him to, to go to his death, right? Rather than allow him to violate this Rabbanon. You can call Pikoch Nefesh and say, oh, he's trying to do tshuva, whatever it is, right? And your comment is still correct. He put himself in this situation. We're trying to protect, Shabbos and Radiyas HaPas. Sounds a little harsh, but maybe yes. That's not the way Tosis asked the question. Tosis asked the question in a more pragmatic way by asking, "Im Tomer, my baya hizu, im etiruler dosa pshita shala yishma lanu im nesamo." So he asked in a more practical way, not what should be, but he's not going to listen to you. I was always very offended by this. The question of Tosis. I saw some of the Achronim, are offended by it as well. He did tshuva, but he's a God-fearing Jew. Especially now, he's a God-fearing Jew. So, this is his Akeda, right? Pretty sad, but why he's not going to listen to you, right? And like the Bali Tosis, can assume that in the question. Right? If they'd asked them, the moral question. The Chacham are going to allow him to mark to his death. That wouldn't have bothered me as much. To be
who said he did tshuva?
What?
Who said he did tshuva?
Oh, yes.
Well, he
doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be an Iskal, so he does Radia. Who said he did tshuva?
Okay, and if he did do tshuva,
that's unlikely. It's a short time.
Well, I don't know.
I think
we can all be out. He obviously decided to ask. Right? He changed his mind about something here.
His life.
Okay, and when he put in the pass?
It's okay, but once it's... But he still saved his
life. An hour earlier, he didn't want to save his life.
But now he can save his life.
I prefer to think that he's a different man. Maybe I'm more optimistic than you are. Either way, it doesn't make a difference. So my question is a question, even in the room, what you think is remote and what I think is likely, that he did chew. Right. It's a tahara. I don't have an answer for it. Some of the, I think we saw some, but one of the achronim in the back, not in the back of the Gemara, but they have these books, with all these convenient books, which, have a lot of the kovetz mefarshim. So somebody in the back there asks this guy, the Pnei Yeshua, the Svasemes, the Chsam Sofer. So one of them asks, one of the Gedoli achronim asks this question. Also, anyways, either way, it's an interesting tosis, interesting question. Tosis answer, v'tir tzriva, dim lo hitiru, lo mechayiv skila. This is already quite fascinating. We asked a minute ago whether or not if his chavero were allowed to, right, or especially if he were obligated to, intervene on his behalf and do an avera, would he get the onesh? Right? We weren't sure. I mentioned it's not so clear. The Rishonim mostly don't talk about it. The Achronim speak about it. But this is a parallel question. Again, not identical, but parallel. Namely, if the Chachamim do not allow you to reverse the Bishol, the Afiyah, do you really get the Onesh of Skila? Right? So Tosfos is saying, the Tirat Shriva, Dim lo Yitiru, lo Mechayiv Skila. The only reason that he's going to get skila, that he's going to violate, is because we don't let him, we refuse to let him undo it. So in a way, he's an anus. Now you're going to ask, but he wasn't an anus when he put the stuff in the oven, right? So we're going to get that in just a second. That's why it's relevant to our bigger question.
Prohibit him from Radiyah?
What's that?
Meniach, the word Meniach.
Yeah, yeah. Meniach means that they he has to leave it there. Kivin Shemeniach, he doesn't, he Meniach Melirdos, meaning we don't let him, to reverse it. So therefore, they mash anu otsrim lo. So then he brings a raya from Psachim, but is it a good raya? The chem be Psachim, the sof per ka'isha. Now, what's Psachim? I referred to it before. Arel, Hazah izemel imidu divrayim b'makom kares. Amalom chayv kares over abanon who da'asri le'lemevad pasach. Those are all situations where he can't bring a korban pasach because of the rabbanans that we don't allow him to become roi la kravas korban pasach. Right? So is he going to be chayv kares? It's not say sheish, but kares korban pasach. Does anybody think that he's going to be chayv kares in that case? The answer is certainly not. But Tosfos is saying v'hu adin here, namely where he did an act of afiyah and we don't let him undo it or reverse it because of a drabana. Is that the same situation? Not exactly, right? If you want to put it in technical terms, you might say that the case here is a kind of a trilaso b'pshia b'sofa b'onus, right? He is sofa b'onus because he could reverse things and the chachamim will let him. Right, but as you said correctly, he put himself in this. Who told him to do? We're talking about somebody who did a b'mezid. Who told him to do a fiyah to begin with? Mm-hmm. Right. So he's chilasa b'pshia. I'm just using that phrase. Chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. If so, even now, orel hizemel hazah is chilasa ba'ones. I mean, he didn't do any aveira. He was tameh, but we don't let him do hazah on Shabbos, and therefore he's not going to be able to be ready for the Korban Pesach. We don't let him, right, become mukshar le Korban Pesach. Not that we prevent him from undoing, you know, some action. And indeed, if you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim Alatar, look at the Tosfos Yeshanim for a second. Tosfos Yeshanim says, number one, he starts off by saying, "Oh, space, mine, but whatever." Tema lemoreno rav reb Shmuel mi mirvora. Okay, im kain my kami boy kimin de bein atir be lo itiru lo mechayev pshita de lo yatiru. First of all, it's like a, you know, Tosfos Yeshanim is like a one-upsmanship here. He says, "Listen, either way, you're not going to get skila, right? So if you're not going to get skila either way." Better they should tell you that you can't do it. Because either way, you're not getting skila. So why should you violate the Yisud Rabbanon? Okay. So there's a really good answer to that, which we're going to get to in a second. And it's related to what you asked before. But either way, then he goes on to say, if they did think that he's allowed to, right, and he doesn't, then he'll get skila. So there's still an afkamina. Everybody with me? It's a little complicated, but okay. Then he adds, venerally, I'm sorry, inami, higufa kami baile hitiru, dimlo yatiru, mechayiv. Meaning, no, unlike Tosas. Tosas said, everybody will agree, right, that if we tie his hands, we don't let him remove the dough from the oven. So it's not his fault. So everybody's going to agree that he doesn't get skila. The Tosfos Yeshanim says, no, that's gufa. He doesn't say that everybody will agree he'll get skila. And the question is whether or not he gets skila. He says, maybe that's gufa the question. Is he going to get skila or not? If we think that he's not going to get skila, right, then maybe we won't allow him to do it. If we think he is going to get skila under these conditions, then maybe we'll allow him. But in Achanami, in theory, they could have disallowed him and he could get skila. Right? So even in principle, this is an important debate between Tosfos Yeshanim and Tosfos. Then it goes on. Below Dami Laid Psachim, I have doing this proof from Psachim, Orel, Hizemel, right, that what? That when the Chachamim tie your hands, you don't get an Onesh. So the Tosfos Yeshanim says, no, not at all. That's not a very good raya at all. Why? Well, Adami la yid psachim, kivin de pasha, right? Alo hitiru de lo mechayev, afagav de pasha mitchila, hashdemia ena meniach milirdos al yidei she'asher lo chachamim. Right? In the case of psachim, he didn't do anything wrong. I say he became tamei, but that was a while ago. In this process, he did nothing wrong. So you could call it, I'm just using the expression, tchilas ba'ones. But here, it's tchilas b'pshia, the sofo ba'ones. How could you compare the two? So I want to get back to that argument. It's a very interesting argument of halachic process and rabbanans and so on. But that aside, I want to get back to it in terms of its implication for Bishul. Before I get to that, I want to go back to your point before, which is, what does the Gemara say in the end? That Rabbi Bibi Barabai's question is about Mazid, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore they have to change the gear so to what? Kodem Shiyavo Lidei Isra Skila. But according to Tosus, right, there's no Isra Skila. Because according to Tosus, if we tie your hands, you're not going to get Skila. No, so if you're not going to get Skila, then what's the Gemara talking about?
It's an Isra Skila.
Oh. So the answer is that according to Tosus, the Sugya is really talking about not the Foal, whether you're going to be Chayv Skila or not. It's talking about whether you did a Maisa Veira, which is Roy Leskila, even if Lemaisa you don't get Skila. So if that's the case, so then the question that Donnie asked before, which was, when it came to Chatas, how come the Gemara was so focused on the actual key of Chatas? Remember the Gemara said, well, if he remembers enough to ask the Shaila, he's not going to be Chayv Chatas anyway. Okay, he's not Chayv Chatas anyway, but didn't he do the Ma'isa Aveira? He did a Fiyah B'Shabbos. So he doesn't bring a Chatas. Why did he bring a Chatas? Because the technicality of Tchilasa of the Sofo B'Shkaga. And that's all we care about, is whether or not he has to put his hand in his pocket and have the, you know, the financial obligation or the embarrassment of bringing an actual Korban Chatas. That's what we care about. Don't we care about the fact that there was a Chilul Shabbos here? Right? So Ivka, let's say you remember, let's say, well, there won't be a Befoal Chiyav Chatas. That's what you're asking. Right? But he don't we still want to make sure that he doesn't do the Ma'is Aveira of Bishul? Now, according to Tosfos Shanim, second answer, maybe there's no question, because when the Gemara talks about Isur Skila, they're talking about literally Isur Skila. You might go back to your question, which is, why do they only care about the Befoal Isur Skila and the Befoal Chiyav Chatas? Isn't Chilul Shabbos and preventing Chilul Shabbos just objectively, even without any ownership at all, isn't that enough of a cause, of a good cause? That's a good question. But maybe the answer is, in the end of the day, in order to justify doing a Kumbase Drabanan, right, do you need something more concrete? But according to Tosas Udine, the question's even stronger, because there seems to be a discrepancy between, in this question, between Chatas, which the Gemara seems to be focusing on Lemaisa, whether you're Befoal actually going to bring it or not, whereas in the case of Skila, the fact that you did an Abeira, which is Ra'ui, or Ru'uya rather, L'Skila, is more significant than whether Lemaisa you're going to be Niskal or not. And the question is why. So actually, Bali Tosis asks this question. You just have to realize what's going on to realize that that's what they mean. So if you look at the little Tosis, the third Tosis on the page, Ve'ela, Ela Dahadar Ve'idkar Mimachayiv. Tema, says Tosis, Delishni Ema Lidei Isra Chatas Kedamber B'samuch Kodim Shiyava Lidei Isur Skila. Tosis actually is Mindai. Now if you put this together with the Tosis on that we just discussed, we can see where Tosis also gets it from a little bit. Why does the Gemara say Isur Skila? Why don't they just say Skila? Or Chiyuv Skila?
Because you don't get Skila.
Right. Because according to Tosis, you don't ever get Skila in Maimonides Shach. Either you're allowed to do it, or you're not allowed to do it, and you don't get Skila. So that's why the Gemara uses the expression Isur Skila. Because what we really care about is the Chilul Shabbos. So then Tosis says, but if that's the case, don't talk about the Isur Chatas, don't talk about the Chiyuv Chatas, or the Isur Chiyuv Chatas, but not about the Lemaisa Chatas. And Tosas doesn't answer. So the Ramban also asks this question, Ramban Alatar, and the Ramban says, V'hu Adin. So the Gemara didn't realize, when the Gemara was talking about Chatas, they thought that the only justification here for extraordinary action is preventing the Foal. Right? Chiyuvim and Onshin. Then, once the Gemara was forced into Skila, and then they came on to the idea that the Chilul Shabbos, even without the actual default Skila, is also enough, Huadin. If we go back now, we'd say Huadin, same thing would be in Chatos. That's Ramban. But Bali Tosis were bothered by this question. They didn't give Ramban's answer. The Meiri is explicit about it. Meiri says, when it comes to Chatos, we care about the Befoal Chiyuv. When it comes to Skila, we care about the Chilul Shabbos, right? Even if there is no actual Skila itself. The question is why? So this is a very parallel to something else that we ran into earlier in the year, although not necessarily Shitasam, but a parallel issue. If you remember earlier in the year, we talked about, right in the beginning, did our Hakdama, we talked about, you know, whether that's 39 Maisaveiros or 39 Shemos Iser, or there's only one. We talked about that whole issue in Prophet. So one of the things we mentioned was, Tosas on Ayin Amar Aleph quotes the words of the Mechilta. The Mechilta had a Havamina, that in order to violate Shabbos, you have to violate all the 39 Ovos Melacha. If you violate one, right, that's not enough. Maskara, of course, we rejected that. Anytime you violate one of the 39, and on the contrary, if you violate all 39, and it's Shigas Melacha, you bring 39 Karbanos, right? But basically, the big idea was, maybe you have to violate all 39. That's looking at the Mishkan not as, you know, 39 different categories, or even applications, but the Mishkan is like a process. Right? Building the Mishkan is like a single integrated, you know, task. And Chil Shabbos is when you do everything. Fine. What's that do with us right now? That was the Mechiltas Havamina. So the Ramban on Ayin Omen Aleph says, and what about the story of the Mekosha Sheitzeh in the Torah? Clearly he didn't violate all the 39. Ad Kedekach, the Chazal, or, you know, said there, we don't know which one it was, or eating, you know, whatever. So on. So the Ramban has an interesting line where he says there's a difference between Shogeg and Nezid. In other words, the Havamin of the Mechilta that you have to violate all 39 is only for Chatos. But for Skila, the Nezid, every single violation independently carries with it that penalty. And the Ritva, there on Ayin Amud Aleph, gives a different answer to the Mekoshesh question, but says, I don't see how the Ramban can justify distinguishing in this question between Shogeg and Mezid. Shogeg and Mezid, the difference is what onus you get. You bring a Korban Chatas, without Hasra you have, but there's a Mezid, you have Kares, with Hasra you have Skila, but basically it's Bahadragah, there's a range of onshin. But Chil Shabbos is Chil Shabbos. That's the Ritva. Right? So interestingly, there's another interesting exchange in Rishonim like this, also different. Isi Ben Yehuda. The Gemara says later on Vav Mudeis, and again on Sadi Vav Mudeis, the Gemara quotes the Megillah Starim of Isi Ben Yehuda. Megillah Starim, the idea is that, you know, it used to be everything was Torah Shebaal Peh. It was like an incredible feat when you think about it. Like, how do they keep all that knowledge and without writing it down? So, whenever they heard something Mechudash, you know, people would take notes. That's how Rashi understands it. So there was like Megillah Starim, but they didn't want to publicize the notes because they wanted to remain Torah Shebaal Peh. They wanted people to commit everything to memory. So they found the Megillah Starim, the Gemara says on Vav Medeis, on Sadi Vav Medeis, of Isi Ben Yehuda. And in the Megillah, so the problem with notes are that they can be very cryptic, right? So the notes basically said that Isi Ben Yehuda was purported to have said that one of the 39 of a Svalacha, there's no Skila. And he didn't mention which one it was. The Gemara mentions on Vav Medeis, on Sadi Vav Medeis, talks about Hotzah, so the Gemara says, to teach you that Isi Ben Yehuda certainly doesn't apply to Hotzah. Hotzah is not one of the candidates for Isi Ben Yehuda. Which is also fascinating, because Hotzah's Malacha Grua, right? We started the year, we've been mentioning several times how Hotzah is the most problematic of the malachos in a way. So you think if there's a malacha we're going to be makel about, it should be, no. Not Hotzah, not Dalet Amos. They are on the strict skill list, for sure. So which is Issa ben Yehuda's malacha? You know, only the note taker and Issa ben Yehuda himself, you know, probably know. Anyways, why is that relevant to us? So on Vamid Beis and Tariv Vamid Beis, most of Bali Tosa say Issa ben Yehuda's halacha is that only skila? The Gemara mentioned skila. What about kares? What about chatas? So actually, Rabbeinu Chananel on Tzadivav of Medeis says, yeah, Issa ben Yehuda basically said that one of the 39 of us malacha is not really a malacha. And what are the consequences? The Gemara mentions skila, but who adin? Skila, kares, chatas. Let's be consistent, right? However, Bali Tosis on Vavim Beis, if you want to look at it, you can just look at it for a second. It's right here anyway, first parak, our parak. So the Gemara here. If you see the almost in the middle of the page, it says, the Omar Rab, you see the little Gilyan Ashas reference. Matasi Megillah Starim, Beirab Chia, because of Isi Ben Yudomer, Avis Malachos, Mem Chasar Achas, that 39 Avis Malacha, Beirab Chayav Ala Achas, and you only Chayav one. Huh? 39 avos malacha, but you're only chayav one. Any atan avos malacha mem chasra akats avina minyan alamali. Why do you need to mention? Why do you need to count out 39? Rabbi Yochanan shomer son kulan dana machad chayav kalakas viakats. Because if you do them in one state of ignorance, you have to bring for each one. Eleima eno chayav al achas mehen. There's one for which you're not chayav. But kamash malan that ha, meaning hotzah. Mehanach, the lomisapkan, it's not one of the doubtful ones. So look at Tos. Tosa says here, Hakamashmal and Kirav, Nikan, Medaktek read, the Loktani Isi and Ochaivala Achas Mehan, Ela Askila, Avalachatas, Chaiv Okulam, the Koyachatas, Imken, Gipara, Chaiv Chatas, Pshita, Havala Nishnuya, Kamashmal and Kirav. Basically, we don't read the whole Tosas. Tosus basically says that if you look carefully in the Gemaras, this Gemara, the late Gemara later on, in Azorik, etc., Isi ben Yehuda's halacha is limited to skila. But chatos, whatever that mystery malacha, you know, is, where there's no skila, you should know there's chatos. Ah, then the Ramban and the Ra'ah have a discussion, and what about kares? Right? So the Ramban says, there's no chatos without kares. If the mazid, you don't get kares, there's no chatas pishoking. So even though it may sound that way, he says, Isi ben Yehuda is limited to skila, even to the exclusion of kares. The Ra'ah wasn't sure about it, and was bothered by it. So the Ra'ah thinks there's a possibility that there's no kares and skila, but there is chatas. So you have three shitas, basically. You have the Ramban, who says there's just no skila in the mystery malacha. You have the Ra'ah, who's considering that there's no kares and no skila, and you have the Bali Tosus to say there's just no chatas. Okay, that's right. Rabbi Chananel says that there is even chatas. Sorry. So the question arises: if you hold like Rabbi Chananel, that's fine. Logically, we understand it. There's a certain one of the 39 of us malacha, which isn't really a malacha, right? So what are the implications of that? No skila, no kares. One would think no skila, no kares, no chatas. Maybe it'll be balav, like havar lalav yatzas, or mechamer, or tchumin alivid rabbi akiva. But we know there are, or own shei bezdin, you know, b'shabbos. That we know there are satellite or lesser isurim on Shabbos. So this will be one of them. But if we take the view that it is an av malacha, and there is a chiyuv chatas, and maybe there's also kares, but there's no skila, so what we're really saying is that chilul Shabbos expresses itself differently occasionally, the mezid and the shogeg. But it isn't just a question of what your state of mind was and therefore what your onesh is, but the concept of chilul Shabbos, just like we saw, you know, for the Ramban's idea about the mechilta, right? So here too, we have a similar kind of a discussion, right? There's a group of Rishonim that say that when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, the Nezid, we would go to great lengths to prevent not only the Onesh, but the Maisa Aveira. But when it comes to Shogeg, right, maybe, you know, without the impact on the Karban, before I'll bring the Karban, just to prevent the Chilul Shabbos to Shogeg, maybe we're not going to go that far. So these are not the same, but three, at least three, issues where we find discussions in the Rishonim whether the difference between Shogeg and Mezid, right, isn't limited only to the Onesh, but to the way that we look at the quality of the Chilul Shabbos involved. Okay. Now getting back to the main point.
What about Mekoshesh and Isi Ben Yehuda?
What about that?
Mekoshesh is Ma'amir. There's certain possibilities of what Mekoshesh.
Oh, you're asking whether the
Mekoshesh is only.
Well, clearly the Mekoshesh was not one of the Isi Ben Yehuda ones. That's
true. Of course, but there's three. I think there's.
But we don't know which.
Three sheets is what the Mekoshesh.
Right, but
is.
Since we don't know which one it is, it still could be any of the three. Right.
No, but for sure.
It just couldn't be any of the three if that was the one that was the Mekoshesh.
Right.
But how could you?
But I don't know. That pins it down very much.
How can you ever give Hasrod then? To have no, maybe the one who's doing have a free pair.
Oh, it could be like Hasrod. Well, we don't pass like this in Ben
Yehuda.
Number two, the question of Hasrod Safek, you know, is we're going to get to Hasrod Safek in a different context in just a minute. How can you ever give anybody Hasrod Safek in Bishul and Afiyah? They might remove it before, you know. But anyways, normally Hasrod Safek isn't exactly that. Hasrod Safek usually is like Lavadita Klase. In other words, I say to you, don't do this, but you have a way to fix it. Not knowing whether you deserve the Malkus because we don't know which one Isi Ben Yehuda, that isn't really Hasrod Safek. That's our ignorance. It's not that there's something missing in the level of Mezid.
Well, if we did passing like you see, then you
can
never.
So I'm saying number one, we don't pass like. But I'm saying
you can never get any owners.
Yeah, but that's not because
maybe that's the one. That
right, but that's not because of Hasrod Safek.
Sure,
that's because of Safek Pikuach Nefesh, right? What I'm saying is it's a cute question, but it isn't really Hasrod Safek. Now, if you want to say that it's Safek Pikuach Nefesh, we could talk about that. That's more likely. Yeah.
To give a reason why we're not that concerned about preventing shogeg.
Yeah.
The onish of shogeg, sechatas, you can view that as an onish momenos, whereas the onish when you come to kares, that's nefashos or skila.
Right.
So it says.
But we are concerned about the befoal. We're just not concerned. But what we'll see in a moment is that it comes up in a different context. I mean, the Ramban says when it comes to chadei kedei she yizke chadero. He says, I think there's a big difference between chatas and mezid. And the reason is because, number one, chatas is just money, what you're saying. But number two is, and this is a very powerful line of the Ramban, not always consistent in the Ramban in other places. The Ramban says, also, the chatas is a kapara.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. Why do you want to prevent that? Right? That's an interesting. So we look at korban chatas as an onesh, right? It's also a kapara. So that's an interesting line of Ramban here on Dalet Amud Aleph about the Chatei part of the Sugya. Yeah.
Before we were talking about how far should one go to save his cover.
Yeah.
It seems that the lesson you're using was sort of a mitzvah of Rav Avera. Because he was saying mitzvah to Rav Hashanah.
All right. I don't know if it's mitzvah of Rav Avera, but I mean, mitzvah of Rav Avera is when you do a mitzvah intentionally. You know, by using an aver. Here we're talking about, you know, preventing a greater offense by doing a lesser offense. It's a little bit different. But, and we're asking whether, we're asking what the normative proper thing is. And we're usually dealing with the Daraisa and the Drabana, but not always. We'll get to it though. Okay. So, that's just one little part. The bigger question is to go back to the Riva and Tosas Yishan. Right, so there's this debate in the sugya whether or not if the chachamim tell you no, are you going to violate skila or not? Right. So Artosis was saying it's your onus, and it's like Orel Hazah Izemel. right? And Tosfos Shonim was saying, well, you're not really an anus because you're the one who did the whole thing and you did it b'pshia, right? And it's not comparable to those cases in Pesachim and elsewhere, because in those cases you really aren't anus mitzchila. Oh. So which is it? Is it tchila of b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, to use that expression? Or is it kula ones? So now this is a good opening to the question I want to discuss today, which I guess we'll have to continue next time, which is, how do we look at these two stages, these two phases, two time frames of bishul / afiyah? In other words, there are malachos, most malachos, which are very simple. A simple action, you might need a certain quantity, after the right to OCOs, you could, you know, eke it out if you want, but mostly, it's a simple action. Kotzer is a simple action. Bone is a simple action. Right? They're shiurim. And the shiurim allow you to eke it out and elongate it. But you don't have to. It's basically one action. And the shiurim are quantitative. There are a few malachos which appear to have two distinct or discrete phases that are different from each other, qualitatively. The three that come to mind are Hotza'ah, because you have Akira v'Hanacha, but there's not necessarily a time lag, but it's just two different actions, right? And we talked about that a little bit, the relationship between Akira and Hanacha. Zoreya, right? You put something in the ground, but it's going to take a while until it's niklat, or nishrash, whatever you want to call it, until it catches, right? Now there, the time discrepancy is greater, and likely to be in a different day. Right, so it's even more bolet. And the classic Zoreya case is that you just put it in the ground, right, on Shabbos, but the real Hashrasha on Klita is afterwards. Minchas Chinuch seems to think that, you know, you have these magical beans. Or is it the beanstalk guy again? Jack, right? Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, kind of beans that, oh, you know, maybe even on the same day, on the same Shabbos, you know, they're going to sprout. And then he wants to know whether you're high twice or not. You know, that's like, you know, classic. Anyways, but that aside, you know, most planting situations, you know, it's not going to happen on Shabbos. So it's a very important question, right? What is the relationship between putting the seed in the ground? And by definition, it has to take time, even a different day, and that's Rasha and the Klita. So that is a major, major debate among the Achronim, and it's partially connected to how they understand the relationship between Zoreya and Bishul. With Bishul, in a way, it's parallel, right? But different. Because most Bishuls, unless you happen to time it, you know, differently, will take place on Shabbos. Of course, in theory, you could have a Tchilas Bishul be'erev Shabbos and a Bishul on Shabbos, and you could have a Tchilas Bishul on Shabbos and a real Bishul, you know, b'motzoi Shabbos. So the status, for example, of Bishul b'motzoi Shabbos when you start it on Shabbos is part of this same discussion about the relationship between Zoreya and Bishul that we find in the Achronim. The way that it kind of generally works out, and we're not going to do this, we don't have time today, but when we finish with this next time, which we still have to determine when that is, right, is basically, in terms of the Achronim, it works as follows. There's the Chelkas Yoev and the Rashash, who are both of the opinion that Zoreya and Bishul are similar. And the Rashash in particular thought that they were similar in both directions. You could learn Zoreya Halakos by virtue of the equation to Bishul, and you could learn Bishul Halakos by virtue of the equation to Zoreya. We'll see this inside next time, but basically what the Rashash was being Mechadesh was, there are two cases that we don't know anything about in the Talmud regarding these issues. One is, what happens if you put something, you put a seed in the ground on Shabbos, and then after Shabbos, you know, 2 days later, you unearth it, before it's Niklat V'Nishrash. Can Lemafreya, you exempt yourself from Melacha Zoreya? Right? Now again, a variation of that question, but it might be very different, is, let's say when I put the seed in the ground, I intend then to uproot it before it's klita v'hashrasha. Great. That's even more likely to be instructed, because then I don't intend to ever let it get that way. Then the question would be, and what if you forgot that it did? Right. Let me say there are three cases, or four cases, in Zoraya. One is, I put it in the ground, but in a climate or a place, right, which it can't grow. It's not going to catch. Right? Makom she'in aroi lehashrasho leklita. There, it's very likely that that's not even considered in the scene of a karka. The only interesting thing to ask then is, what happens if the climate can changes somehow, right, and miraculously it catches. Okay? The second scenario is, I put it there, it's a makom haroi leklita v'hashrasha, but I have no intention of allowing that to happen. Right? And then the question is, on both levels, right, does that matter, since physically it could grow? And if it does matter, what happens if I forget, or something happens and prevents me from uprooting it, what's going to happen then? Right? The third case is the case where I put it in a place which is makom haroi lezriya, right? And at the time, I intended to keep it there, to leave it there, so it could be niklat v'nishrash. And then after Shabbos, I changed my mind. Well, there could be two scenarios too. On Shabbos, I changed my mind, but it's after I put it in the ground. After Shabbos, I changed my mind. I'm not sure if there's any difference between those two things. And then I uproot it. So this, the question of makom haroi lezriya, most of the Achronim think, everybody agrees it's going to be ma'ake. Now, if I put it somewhere where it cannot catch, that's not going to be considered zoreya. Just putting a seed in the ground when the conditions, the climate is not, foster growth, that's nothing. Again, they don't address so much another question, what happens if it changes, but that's a different question. As for the question of the other, well, then you go in the other radical direction. The chiddush of the Rashash was that even if I change my mind after Shabbos and I uproot it, there's no zoreya. Even the Rashash never said, mind you, that the din of chilasa v'sofa v'shkaga, right, should apply to motzoi Shabbos. I don't know if anybody makes that horror or not, but I'm making that horror. I think maybe the Eglei Tal does. I'm not sure if that's what he really means. In other words, we mentioned in our Gemara that you need tchilasa v'sofa b'shkaga. So if at the time you put the food in the oven, you were shogeg, but before it actually cooked, you found out about it, even though you're passive, there's no chatas. So let's say according to the Rashash, Rashash's big chiddush is that if you put seeds in the ground, right, and it could grow, and you intend for it to grow, and then later you change your mind and you uproot it beforehand, the big chiddush of the Rashash is, you learn from Bishul, yeah, that, you know, it has to be niklat v'nishrash. Fine. But is anybody going to say, is even the Rashash going to say, that if you found out, let's say you didn't know, when you did it on Shabbos, you were shogeg, and then what's on Shabbos, somebody says to you, Arigay, didn't you know it was Shabbos? Or didn't you know you're not allowed to do Zoreya? Or didn't you know that this is the Zriya that you're not allowed to do? And he said, Arigay, right? So, is that oivei mean that he's pater mechatas, according to the Rashash? I'm sure that the answer has got to be no. Okay. So it's not perfectly parallel to Bishul. Anyway, that's one issue. What impact does later Hashrasha Uklita have on Zoreya? That's not addressed in the Gemara. The Rashash takes the most radical view, even though I'm trying to show that even his most radical view has a little bit of, a difference. But it's based on, he says, how do I know this? There's no Gemara? It's the Gemara here about Bishul. If you take out the food from the oven before it cooks, before it bakes, right? You didn't do anything. Hu adin zoreya. Aye, but here it could be, it usually is on the same day. There it's, by definition, later, maybe just in general there's a difference between, maybe Zoreya is what I call front-loaded and Bishul is back-loaded. No. Rosh Hashanah assumes as much as there's an equation, there's an equation, and that can fill in the lacuna, meaning the absence of information. The Rosh Hashanah says the same logic goes in the other direction, which is also fascinating, because you could have just said, you know, we learn the paradigm is Vishal. Because the Gemara doesn't address another case either. Let's say you put food in the oven, right, late on Shabbos, and it doesn't cook then, it only cooks on Motzai Shabbos. So what's the halacha? In Zareya, that's a typical case where Zareya is chayiv. You put the food in it, you put the Zera in the ground, and on Wednesday, or maybe in two Wednesdays, right, it's Niklat v'Nishrash. Are you chayiv? Sure. Now, according to most Rishonim or Achronim, will say, yeah, because you're chayiv for putting it in a place where it can grow. But you're not chayiv in Bishul for putting something in a place where it can cook. But according to the Rashash, that's not exactly true. Because the Rashash is already committed based on the connection, what Bishul tells you about Zriya, to the idea that Zriya actually requires a klita of Hashrasha in the end. Oh, but if that's the case, namely, that on Motzoi Shabbos can supply a component for a Malacha B'Shabbos, so why not say the same thing in Bishul? That's the logic. That's all three lines in the Rashash, but that's basically what we're saying. So the Rashash is Mechadesh, that if you put food in the oven on Shabbos, and it doesn't cook or bake, and except on Motzoi Shabbos, and you didn't uproot it before that, you're going to be Chayav Bishul. Wow. Chalkas Yoav also agrees with that. The Minchas Chinuch, the Eg Leital, Mahash Maharg about both of these things. I think that they're all wrong. The Zriya goes way too far, and the Bishul they think is completely wrong. Okay. So what I want to get back to is, well, let's make one final comment. Already we see in the Riva, in the Ri a little bit, the Bishul part of this argument. Namely, if there are two phases in Bishul, putting the food in the oven, that's the active part. But nothing happens then. Chetzah's not changed. Right? It's sitting in the oven for another 3 hours. Right? And then there's phase two, which is passive, but that's when the physical change, right, the cooking, the baking, takes place. So what is it? Front-loaded? Back-loaded? It's an integrated both? Two phases? Two parts? What exactly is it? Ah. So in a way, isn't that a little bit the discussion of Tosis and Tosis Shanim? Right? Tosis says, we can compare the Chachamim telling you not to remove the food from the oven with Hazah, Izemel, Orel, meaning the Chachamim tied your hands, you're an onus. So Tosis Shanim says, what do you mean? That's not comparable. Here it's Chilos of Shia. So you put it on the oven. Meaning, Tosis seems to be taking the view that the critical moment is not the moment where you put the food in the oven, because nothing happened then. It's all backloaded. It's when it cooks and bakes. So at the critical moment of cooking, you did a hechsher. But you don't do the real Maisa Avera. The real Maisa Avera is when there's a Chefta Shel Bishul. So it's like Chazav, Izemel, and Arel. Meaning where it counts, you're Tchilasa Ba'ones. And the Tosfos Shanim says, either, well, it doesn't matter, so it's Kumbasei, or maybe what he really thinks is that Bishul really begins, and it isn't just a Hechsher, there's a front-loaded component to Bishul too. Maybe that's the Ikar, or maybe that's, you know, half, or Tchila, however you want to call it. So he says, if that's the case, then it's Tchila of the Chia. So that will affect Chatei Kadei Sheizka Chavero. It'll also affect Hasra, right? It's also going to affect how we understand the Gemara about Tchilos of the Sofo Bishkaga, as well as a couple of other issues. I want to discuss that question, especially the visual side of it, the next time we meet.